Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. You're tuned in to episode 14-50 on Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone. Thank you for joining us. Don't those guitars just get your blood pumping? I love it. Thank you so much for joining us on this 21st day of December, the shortest day of the year, which is actually not quite accurate. It is the least amount of sunlight on this day, so we have that to look forward to every day after today. We'll have about 3 minutes of daylight added, and after the first of the year, we'll be looking at the springtime and a whole new year ahead of us. And my, what a year 2014 has been. This is episode 14-50, which is the 50th episode of Radio Free Redoubt, the 50th broadcast in 2014. Thank you all for joining us. And, well, let's see here. What have we got here? Today's also the first day of winter, officially. And in most of the places in the American Redoubt, we've been kind of spoiled with less than wintry weather, but it has a way on these types of years, making up for it right after January 1st. And so we expect to get pummeled. And if we get through this with a mild winter, well, we will welcome that and count that as a blessing too. I want to welcome all of our new listeners. Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Free Redoubt. You can go to radiofreeredoubt.com. If you are listening to a downloaded copy or a CD, something that someone gave you, you can learn more about what we're about at that website, and also our Facebook.com site / Radio Free Redoubt. The other side of Radio Free Redoubt is AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and we have a Facebook page for that as well, Facebook.com/AMRON. For those of you who are curious to know more about how to get communications up and going and practice regularly with our scheduled nets, we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. There's lots of changes, which I'm going to focus on next week in next week's broadcast. Probably. I think we were planning on taking next week off. All of the partisans just spend some time with their families because we've all been working so hard. All of you out there who have been contributing have done so much to help Radio Free Redoubt and AMRON in the last year. We thought about taking next week off, but I'll probably put some audio up there and might make some brief announcements. But the weekend after that, January 4th, I believe, we're going to be kicking off the new year and setting goals and outlining what we have in store for us for the future. So we look forward to that. Tonight, we're going to cover Christmassy stuff. This is our Christmas broadcast, and there are some Christmas stories that I'm going to convey to you involving partisans and patriots. So that's going to be the theme. I want to make it a little bit light. We're going to get into some of the news and commentary tonight, talking about some current events, because we still need to stay vigilant. But then also we're going to be looking at some history related to Christmas that could affect us, or that is part of our heritage and our background, and hopefully you're entertained by it. And then in segment four, we're going to be talking about communications, but stay around for that. If communications isn't your thing, or you're not sure if it is, each year we promote Santa Claus on HF, ham radio, shortwave ham radio. And this is a great way to get your children or your grandchildren interested in ham radio at a young age. Many people didn't know Santa Claus is a ham radio operator. Every year they run the Santa HF net on 20 meters, and we'll have more information on that in segment four. And then also something kind of fun and lighthearted that we like to do. Also, NORAD, the North American Defense System, out of Colorado Springs, they have the Santa tracker. We'll be able to track Santa on Christmas Eve. And this is something that we like to do that's kind of fun. Of course, we are, you know, Christian patriots, and we also understand the true, real meaning of the season. And it is really about our King being born, coming to earth, and fulfilling prophecy, and coming here for a purpose and a reason. And we believe that he will be back, and probably not very too far off the way things are looking in the world. But he is the real true reason for the season. And so the Santa stuff is, you know, it's fun. It's a sideshow. But anyway, for ham radio, it's just a fun way to, you know, introduce kids. But don't forget to tell them about the true meaning of Christmas. It's not about some fat man in a red suit. But here we are. Let's see. Let's move on. Let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series. All 10 books are out, including the audio books now. And those are a great read, entertaining and enlightening. Might find yourself with getting some really good ideas about how to prepare yourself for a collapse, even a partial collapse. But let's talk about kind of the state leading up, the state of the current affairs leading up to potential collapse. We're talking politically, societally, economically. Lots of stuff in the news, lots of indicators letting us know that we should be ever vigilant because of some of the stuff that's going on. There was a rally yesterday that I was able to attend, and it was such a treat. What a blessing to be able to meet so many of you again, see many of you again, and I actually got to meet some, was introduced to some patriots that I had not met, and being introduced to them by some of you, different speeches that I've done and different events that I've been at. I've got to meet so many of you guys, and it's always just the highlight of an event to be able to meet you guys and shake your hands and just share testimonies, and that's really good stuff. But at this rally, of course, last week we talked about this video that broke where a sheriff's deputy in Spokane County in the American Redoubt, it's true, was on a video that a woman took of this MRAP parked outside of a Walmart, asking the deputy why you have to have something like this in America. And his response was, well, we have a lot of constitutionalists in this area and they stockpile weapons and ammunition. Well, that went viral and just got way blown up, but not disproportionately. It was very appropriately addressed and spread by partisans and patriots. And as Representative Matt Shea says, this is the smoking gun. This is the kind of stuff that we know this kind of training is going on, but you don't ever get to see the manifestation of it because the public really gets to hear, well, it's to protect our team so we can save your life. But then something slipped out. And it's the result of training and indoctrination that's put on by these domestic terror threat so-called watchdog groups. And they get brought into our alphabet soup agencies and government agencies, police departments to talk about terror threats. And one of the things at the top of the list is constitutionalist-minded Tea Party homeschooling, anti-homosexual agenda, pro-homeschooling. I think I already said that. Pro securing our borders. Basically, if you stand for Americanism and the Constitution and our American heritage, then you're going to be on that list somehow, some way. And those guys are coming to our communities, training our law enforcement on the threats they need to be gearing up for, militarizing their equipment and their training as a potential threat they may have to meet. Now, this officer, this deputy, obviously does not reflect the views of many of the other oath-keeping, constitutionally-minded law enforcement officers who have the proper perspective, and they know why they're there. They're there for the right reasons, to protect and to serve, and they take their oath seriously. Well, this sheriff, this actually was put out by the TeaPartyTribune.com. We've got the video of Matt Shea's speech posted up on the Facebook page, the Radio Free Readout Facebook page, and on our YouTube channel, Radio Free Readout. We've got the YouTube channel there with the other comms up videos. Well, we also have this one posted, and is a great speech. About 400 people showed up at the Spokane Valley, Washington Police Department on East Sprague Avenue Saturday to send a message to Spokane County Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich that they were not happy with him and the way his department has handled comments made by the deputy sheriff, who said an armored vehicle was needed for constitutionalists with guns. The comment was captured on video by an area resident who wondered why the department would need a vehicle designed for combat. Well, the viral video shows a deputy saying the vehicle's needed in part because of a lot of constitutionalists and a lot of people that stockpile weapons and lots of ammunition. While the comment sparked the protest, organizers said that was not the only concern. Other issues included the militarization of police and holding law enforcement accountable to the citizens that they serve. The gathering, which nearly filled the parking lot, began with prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, and a moving rendition of God Bless America. Washington State Representative Matt Shea, a Republican who represents the 4th Legislative District, former congressional candidate, a constitutional activist, also Gavin Syme, and Justin Pimsangguan, I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Don't Shoot Spokane, spoke at the event. Shea said that Knezovich, the sheriff, needs to apologize to the community and the American people for the comment made by his deputy, or resign. He went on to say the sheriff should hold a constitutional rights class for law enforcement. And that was actually a recommendation by one of our Ameron Corps operators who sent in several key points. I forwarded that to Representative Matt Shea, my good friend, and he said, thanks, I'm using this. This is good stuff. So he's been actually parroting a lot of these recommendations. He said, these are brilliant. And these are actually practical things that we can press for and lobby for. And Shea said, if you won't do that, we'll call him to resign. And if you won't do that, we will recall the sheriff. Good stuff. And so let's see. Let's jump onto the other side of the border in Idaho. Representative Congressman Labrador, he put forward some provisions to give Idahoans a foothold on federal lands. It's a great bill. Among the legislation approved by the 113th Congress, new federal provisions are headed to President Barack Obama for signing that could enhance Idahoans' use of federally controlled lands within the state. But it was kind of ironic. Raul Labrador made a beautiful piece of legislation to introduce to open up state lands to Idaho control and the control of the citizens. And then he voted against it. Why would he do that, you might ask? Well, because they attached this measure to the new NDAA, which he is opposed to. He's furious about it. So they attach this bill to the NDAA. It passes, but then, of course, so does the NDAA. And, you know, there's during his first year in Congress, Labrador in 2011 authored and introduced H.R. 657, the Federal Grazing Improvement Act, and the bill sought to temporarily extend grazing permits for federal lands usage while the BLM and the Forest Service processes, you know, environmental reviews under the new NEPA. Well, what they're doing is they're attaching these bills to stuff that we would not want to support in the first place. And so you can't vote against NDAA without voting against things that would actually help us, like giving access back to our lands. Fortunately, it passed, but unfortunately, it's because NDAA passed, which this was attached to. You know, this is why people are losing faith in our government and the system. I'm glad that this measure passed and we're going to, you know, take measures. We're going to move forward to, you know, secure more of our lands from the federal government. But man, this NDAA thing, that's the National Defense Authorization Act. Lots of, lots of concerns that we all have where this authorizes, you know, American citizens to be held without trial, without charges, without representation. Many times without even any knowledge of what happened to you or where you are indefinitely. This is just a bad trend. And fortunately in Idaho, there is a representative there that's, you know, doing his part and you know, he's just as frustrating. He's as frustrated as you all are living in Idaho. Let's jump across the pond over to Europe, and Asia. Tensions with Russia flare. We've got on the 16th, the president signed a bill adding sanctions on Russia and providing lethal aid to Ukraine. Russia threatens possible preemptive use of full military force in Ukraine. So things are heating up over there. And now we're talking about cutting off their SWIFT, which is basically their access to, you know, money, funds, loans to help their economy. With the oil in a downward spiral, the ruble is plummeting. And also the top Russian banker and Putin's confidant basically said, if you cut off our funding, our access to SWIFT, this program, the U.S. ambassador to Moscow should leave the same day. Basically, they're saying it'll be war. So I'll tell you what, and a lot of people are calling Putin a wounded animal, basically meaning very dangerous. You know, even with Putin's extremely visible and frightening track record before us, it's clear the Obama administration and even the investment community is still not prepared for the extent of the damage the Russian leader can unleash on his own people, on his neighbors, and on the U.S. financial markets. That's from CNBC, from their financial reporting and analysis. Really interesting stuff. And as their ruble is plummeting, we see on the news, Russians are lining up because their currency is losing value by the day. So what are they doing? They're running and stocking up on food, toilet paper, batteries. Oh, wait, no, they're not. No, they're lining up to buy TVs and VCRs and Xboxes and iPhones because they might not be able to afford it in 2 weeks or a month or less. See, we look at Americans and just shake our heads, right? There's a disaster situation. There's no food coming in to this, say, a hurricane area, affected area, and people run to the store to get electronics. They don't have any food on their shelves. And this is just amazing. This is a human thinking condition. This is not just an American thing. In Russia, these people have vivid memories of living under communism and standing in lines, waiting for meat when it's available, for showing up for food, having food rationed. And here they are, how soon we forget. that now the ruble's plummeting. They're worried about runs on banks and not being able to have access to their currency. And once they do get their hands on it, it won't be worth anything because its value is dropping so rapidly. So what do they buy? Electronics, TVs, entertainment. They should be buying food, rice, beans, whatever, you know, whatever they can get their hands on. And of course, they're concerned, the government, they are concerned about runs on banks. So what they're doing is when you can't get stuff from the bank, what do? You shift over and you buy tangible assets, right? Not TVs. You buy goods that you can't get because you can't get your money out. So you still got a debit card, right? And you've got money in your account. So you can't get your money from the bank. So what do? You jump on Amazon and you buy that extra radio that you've been meaning to get. You can buy food online. You can have grain delivered to your front door. So you go and you make all these purchases online. Well, in Belarus, they blocked online stores and news websites on Sunday in an apparent attempt to stop a run on banks and shops as people rushed to secure their savings. I can't get my hands on my money, so I'll go buy tangible goods, even gold, jewelry, anything like that. Pay for with a debit card and get it that way because you can't get to the bank. Well, they're putting the brakes on that. Something to think about in the future. If you can't access, your currency with the banks, then turn it into tangible assets. And this is something that Fox 519 has been talking about for quite a while. Keep as absolute minimum cash in your bank as possible. Just enough to operate. You've got your automatic, your auto bill pay and things like that, and keep the rest of it accessible. Right now in these times, so volatile and things can change so quickly. So I know Fox won't be doing an eye on the economy this week. He was really tied up for the last couple of days and was not able to get to that. And it's Christmas anyway. So Merry Christmas. There's your Christmas present, Fox 519. No eye on the economy for you. Cuba. Somebody was asking me this charade that's going on with Obama reaching out to try to renew, normalize relations with Cuba. Interesting, isn't it? Somebody asked me, what are your thoughts on this? Well, I'm still in the analysis process. Something stinks with this whole thing. Now, and here's the other thing too. One of the listeners sent this in. When Jimmy Carter comes out in favor of your foreign policy position, that means you've really screwed up. So that's a good point. When Jimmy Carter comes out and says, oh, this is such a wonderful thing, I praise the wisdom of President Obama in rebuilding relations with Cuba. Okay, something's not right if Jimmy Carter's in favor of it. I'll tell you what, it's not because they're showing great strides toward freedom and toward liberty and giving up communism. It's probably more likely because we're sinking to their level, because we're actually we've already adopted full-blown socialism, and we're not too far away from communism, especially if this dictator-in-chief had his way. And the Castros are saying Cuba will not be adopting capitalism, not going to happen, and they will remain communist. So we're going to go over there for what purpose and normalize relations with them. That's not because we're going to, coerce them into raising their standards on freedom and liberty. It's more because we're getting more closer to them because we're actually in decline. And plus we have someone with very strong communist ties and influence in the White House. A little bit of good news. If you recall back in May, this is from WorldNet Daily. If you recall back in May, William Baer was arrested after voicing opposition to a school board meeting about a controversial book called 19 Minutes. It's a story about a school shooting that contained pornographic content. It was also required reading for the ninth graders. Now, a New Hampshire Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals judge has blasted the school board for silencing him and arresting him, which was a violation of Mr. Bear's free speech. Very interesting. In dismissing the charges against Bear, Judge James Carroll said the court does agree with the defendant's argument that often in an official meeting, or at the court for that matter, individuals from time to time may be disruptive, but the disruptiveness should not be cause for an arrest in the first instance. Basically, the guy spoke up and boom, immediately officer arrest him. It was a pretty big deal. It was a very big deal. And it was just another sign of how we are just deteriorating, where somebody can't speak out. Here's the other thing. They also said that he didn't purposely cause a breach of the peace, and furthermore dismissed the claim that Bear refused to comply with the lawful order of a police officer. In fact, the court said the court questions the constitutionality of the state's action in the sequence as memorialized by the deposition. That's a bunch of big fancy words saying what you're saying doesn't match up with what we found. Through looking at all the evidence, it appears that the guy spoke up when the meeting wasn't in session. It was actually apparently over with already. He pointed out that the meeting was already completed and that there was no way Mr. Bear had caused a problem for the board or those in attendance. So they just didn't like his point of view and anybody speaking out. And a parent being hauled away in handcuffs for objecting to the school's requirement to subject your children to pornography. Pornographic content in a book. Wow. And that's in New Europe, formerly called New England. All right. Apparently, the Amazon store for your communications needs, they're claiming some of the items there. If you purchase, make your purchase by December 22nd, you can still get it by Christmas. I don't know how they're going to pull that off, but that's what they're saying. So anyway, just something to think about there. If you still have some items on your list you haven't wrapped up yet, you could probably get on Amazon, the Amazon store, and get those things ordered probably tonight, and it would still be here by Christmas. Amazing. All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to share a Christmas story from you. I'm going to take you way back to about 230 years ago, and it's a treat. So stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you and God bless.
Tactical Wood Gas is your off-grid power solution. You've seen their gasifiers in operation at the Preparedness Expos. A veteran-owned business right here in the American Redoubt, TacticalWoodGas.com manufactures wood gas systems and 12-volt generators plumbed for wood gas. Produce your own electricity without the need to store gasoline or diesel fuels. It runs on gases produced from burning wood. And now you can store the power you produce. They offer affordable and expandable battery banks for power outages, including a ruggedized model for tactical use and field operations. And if you act soon, you'll get a free aluminum 400 lumen AA flashlight with each battery bank purchase during the month of December. Call them at 1-800-516-4249. That's 1-800-516-4249. Or visit them today at www.tacticalwoodgas.com.
This is Papa Zed from Central Illinois wishing Amron and Radio Free Redoubt a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And everybody have a blessed one.
This is Ameron Corps Operator Charlie Mike 01, wishing everyone a blessed Merry Christmas.
This is Juliet 59 from the Texas Readout, wishing Ameron and Radio Free Readout listeners a blessed Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Old Crow wishing y'all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy and Prosperous New Year from the Southern Readout.
This is Bravo Delta 01 from deep in the American Readout, wishing all the Radio Free Readout listeners and Ameron members a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Polly 01 wishing the Ameron members and Radio Free Readout listeners a Merry Christmas.
This is Wingnut from Minnesota wishing y'all the Ameron a Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. Enjoy time with family and friends, and just remember why we call it Christmas. This is Wingnut.
This is Delta 04 from the Readout of the South, wishing Ameron a very Merry Christmas.
This is Charlie Delta 06, deep from within the liberal socialist stronghold of Seattle. I'm wishing Ameron and everybody a very Merry Christmas.
And God bless us, everyone.
Welcome back on this special Christmas broadcast at Radio Free Readout. We're going into segment two, which is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Learn more by going to selkirkmountainrealestate.com to get you relocated, strategically relocated and situated in the northernmost part of the panhandle of Idaho. Get to the American Readout after you've, of course, considered it carefully and prayerfully. If it's right for you, if the American Readout is right for you, you are welcome. And there are people that are standing by ready to help you make the move. Now, since it's Christmas, I was looking for some historical Christmas stories that fall right in line with, well, things that we are interested in. I found this story and I'd read it a long time ago, but this is actually newer. The story, of course, has been around for 230 years, but this particular one is put out by the World History Institute. It's a Christmas story, Valley Forge, 1776. Now, the World History Institute teaches the liberating lessons of historically proven biblical principles to benefit people of all nations. And I want to share this with you. This is Christmas, and this is Christmassy. Now, this article, this is about one of the most amazing leaders and one of our most amazing founding fathers, George Washington. We face a Christmas this year that is a time as critical for the cause of freedom as that of the Patriot cause in 1776. Although our adversaries may be more elusive, the same biblical strategy of victory rings through the ages. If we will listen and learn from the small, freezing remnant who camped on the shores of the Delaware over 230 years ago. By Christmas Eve of 1776, the American Revolution was, in essence, over. The Americans had lost. George Washington was out of options. His army, now down to only a few thousand, had lost seven battles in a row and was freezing on the west bank of the Delaware River, awaiting the end. The British, on the other hand, had 33,000 soldiers, well over 100 ships, and were partying in New York City and preparing for the final surrender. Most of the American troops had resolve, but they had lost hope that England could ever be defeated. Half of Washington's army, 1,500 men, were quitting that week and were going home because their enlistments were up. Washington decided on one final offensive. He gathered the same fishermen who had helped him retreat in August from New York and had his beleaguered troops ferried across the half-frozen Delaware at midnight on Christmas Day. Just before they boarded the boats, the general had the American crisis, the challenge by Thomas Paine, read to the men. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives us everything its value. Heaven knows how to set proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Britain, with an army to enforce her tyranny, has declared that she has right not only to tax, but to bind us in all cases whatsoever. And if being bound in that manner is not slavery, then is there not such a thing as slavery upon the earth? Even the expression is impious, for so unlimited a power can belong only to God. Washington landed near Trenton in a blinding snow and hailstorm that served as a cover for his crossing and approach. His men quickly surprised a detachment of 1,200 Hessians. Colonel Rahl and his men had been partying and drinking with a pompous, false sense of security late into the night. When Washington attacked in early morning, almost all were captured, and Rahl was mortally wounded. That day, Washington recrossed the river with over 1,000 prisoners and only 5 casualties of his own. As was his custom, he did not mistreat his prisoners. The Americans immediately crossed the river again, avoiding the massive British counterattack, and surprised the British from the rear at Princeton. General Washington won another victory, riding his horse between the lines of fire, and miraculously remained unscathed as both armies volleyed. His troops rallied for a final charge and won. These victories changed the course of history. Almost all the American soldiers re-enlisted. France began to support the cause, and hope in the providence of God, the great equalizer, reinvigorated the colonists. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Child Protective Services has a long and sordid history. Now they kidnapped a family's children because they home-birthed their twins. Shortly after the birth, paramedics showed up at the family home and recommended the children go to a hospital for evaluation. The family politely declined, and lo and behold, CPS showed up the next day. In a very rare move, the Attorney General's office then took over the case. This is the same AG who is persecuting Christian business owners for refusing to participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. The fact someone is a Christian, home births, breastfeeds, and homeschools their children is not evidence of abuse, it's evidence of love. CPS is out of control, but thank God a courageous commissioner ruled against CPS and these children are going home for Christmas. But let us resolve to never let this happen again. At least, That's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Electric Matt Shea Republic.
Welcome back. Segment 3, Radio Free Readout, episode 1450. This segment is brought to you by Katie Armor. They are the makers, the producers, and sellers of AR-500 Level 3 body armor. They are great patriots and worthy of your support for all of your body armor needs. They carry all the components, equipment, and all of the carriers and accessories, including mag pouches, dump pouches, and so on. Support them. KatieArmor.com. Don't forget to use the coupon code JohnJacob to get a discount on your next purchase. Now, this segment, I'm going to bring you a little farther forward in history. World War II. This is titled A Christmas Miracle, and this was one of the partisan diaries we aired last year. It had just recently been produced by codename Chloe, one of the partisans of Radio Free Redoubt, and she produced two series of the partisan diaries, and then she's dealing with a bunch of stuff in her personal life and had to just deal with some things. Life happens, and she will be resuming those as soon as she's able to, and she's looking very much forward to that. But you can learn more by going over to partisandiaries.com, and you can purchase those diaries. They are first-person accounts of real-world people who really lived in times of crisis. Most of those are centered around partisans of World War II who fought for freedom and risked it all and lost everything, including their lives in some cases. And she did a great job with that. This story was a special presentation. She did one for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas. This is called A Christmas Miracle by codename Chloe. So sit back and enjoy. And then we'll be back in segment 4 to wrap everything up and talk about some of our communications things, a few announcements, and talk about how you can introduce your kids to ham radio by being able to talk to Santa here in the next couple of days. More on that in just a moment.
The Partisan Diaries, a holiday interlude. Tyranny, by definition, is embodied by the term cruel king, an oppressive power usually exerted by a government and given to a single individual who rules oppressively, harshly, and unjustly. History is replete with accounts of tyrannical rulers who trampled freedom, destroyed personal rights, and snuffed out lives and liberty, all in the name of and for causes that tyrants, a few minority, deemed righteous. Amidst this oppression, however, rose men, women, and children who, for the love of freedom, drew lines and built walls to resist tyranny. Most were ordinary citizens who risked all for what they loved and cherished, those inalienable rights endowed to them by their Creator. It has been said that one can see the future through the lens of history. Heroic men and women fighting for a godly cause give us hope and direction as patriots in the future as they boldly fight against tyranny. These are their stories.
December 25th, 1944, Vinken Cabin, Hürtgen Forest, Germany. Dear Diary, Christmas this year was not like those we've had in the past. Tonight, as my mother shut the door, she turned and scooped me up in her arms. I believe we just witnessed a miracle, she said. She hugged me tight. Christmas, the celebration of Christ's birth, is typically celebrated by decorating a tree, giving gifts, singing, and eating heartily. This year, however, I learned the true meaning of Christmas. Christ in us giving us peace that transcends languages, borders, and peoples. Because of the war, Father insisted that Mother and I reside at our cottage in the woods after our home in Aachen, Germany, was bombed. Father was a baker and was required to cook for the German soldiers. He traveled to the cabin as often as he could to bring us food. With winter's fury, though, and the war ongoing in the distance, his trips became few and far between. Christmas Eve found Mother and me alone in the cabin, preparing to eat a simple dinner, when we heard voices outside. Mother blew out the candles on our table. There was a knock at the door, and then another. Mother opened the door to find two American soldiers standing just outside the archway, with a third soldier lying in the snow. The soldiers, weary and cold, looked no older than boys as they attempted to explain their circumstances in a language neither Mother nor I could understand. I was relieved when one soldier spoke French, a language my mother was familiar with. The soldiers, it seemed, had gotten separated from their battalion and wandered for several days in the forest. One had a leg wound. Mother hesitated only slightly, then opened the cabin door wide and invited the foreign visitors into our warm home. Mother quickly set to the task of preparing a meal for our guest. She asked me to retrieve 6 potatoes from the shed and round up Herman, the rooster, for our evening dinner. I looked at my mother questioningly. We were saving Herman for a feast to be shared with Father whenever he arrived for the holiday. Mother, though, urged me on, and I complied. While dinner cooked, I set the table. I was surprised to hear another knock at the door and quickly answered it, thinking it was more lost American soldiers. Instead, my jaw dropped to find 4 German soldiers standing in our doorway. Mother quickly stepped up, albeit as white as a sheet, and wished the soldiers a Merry Christmas. Mother informed them that they were welcome to come into our house and eat until the food was gone. But she also warned them that there were other guests already at her table that they might not consider as friends. "It's Christmas Eve, and there will be no shooting here," she firmly announced as she insisted that the German soldiers leave their weapons outside. They complied, and she went in, demanding the same of her American guests, gathering and lining up their weapons alongside those of the Germans outside by the shed. Tension filled the tiny cabin as the German and American soldiers sized one another up. The warmth of the cabin and the aroma of roasting chicken and potatoes gradually warmed the men as well. While Mother tended to the cooking, one of the German soldiers, a former medical student, examined the wounded American's leg. Apparently, the cold had prevented infection from spreading through his leg, but he had lost a lot of blood. Food and rest were prescribed. As Mother gathered the men around the dinner table, the tensions between the two groups dissipated. One German soldier produced a bottle of wine and a loaf of bread, while one of the American soldiers shared his packet of instant coffee. Although the men were famished, each bowed his head as Mother said grace, giving thanks to the Lord God Almighty for his rich blessings. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest," I remember her boldly saying. As I gazed on the battle-weary soldiers, I couldn't help but notice tears glistening in their eyes. While war waged on outside our small cabin, 7 brave soldiers representing 2 countries worlds apart shared a warm holiday meal as young men again, rather than soldiers fighting in a brutal conflict. Each, seemingly lost in thought, perhaps wishing for home again many miles away, were brought back to the present as Mother said, "Amen." The meal, although simple, filled the men's stomachs, and a quiet peace settled in the room as Mother cleared the table. I stoked the fire as the men, one by one, found comfortable spots throughout the cabin and began to drift off to sleep. The Lord gave our wearied travelers much-needed rest that night, and Christmas Day dawned with bright sunshine. One by one, the soldiers woke, remembering the prior evening's chicken dinner and relishing the warmth of their sleeping quarters. The German soldier cared again for the wounded American's leg, and, together, the others made a stretcher to carry the injured man. The German corporal, looking at the American's map, gave directions to get the American soldiers back to their battalion. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a compass, telling them to be sure to avoid the town of Monschau because the Germans had overtaken the city. As 7 soldiers bundled up and filed out the door, my mother tenderly gave each a warm embrace, quietly whispering a prayer of safety for the small group. The soldiers gathered their weapons, lined up by the shed, and shook hands with one another. Mother and I watched as the 2 groups of soldiers marched off in opposite directions. They were soon out of sight, and the Christmas truce came to an end. While Mother and I settled in our warm cottage this Christmas evening, Mother reminded me of the heavenly host praise at Jesus' birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The Lord gave Mother and me a small glimpse of peace and goodwill this Christmas holiday, as 7 young men, fierce enemies, gathered in our home for a short time of solace. Mother and I prayed earnestly for the battle raging around us to end. In the same breath, we praised the Lord that, despite the brutalities of warfare, we experienced joy, peace, and comfort this Christmas. Thank you, Lord God, for your gift, and may we experience your continued peace throughout our lives.
Postscript. Young Fritz Vinken was 12 years old when he and his mother Elizabeth experienced this unique Christmas truce. The 2 of them, along with his father, survived the war. Many others, especially during this time of the war, the infamous Battle of the Bulge, did not. The Battle of the Bulge was the costliest battle in World War II, claiming some 16,000 lives. Despite the losses, the Christmas 1944 truce made a lasting impression on Fritz. In 1958, Fritz married, moved to Hawaii, and followed in his father's footsteps by opening a bakery. Fritz often wondered over the years about the 7 soldiers he had met so long ago on a wintry Christmas Eve. 50 years after the event, Fritz had the opportunity to meet one of the American soldiers, Ralph Blank, who had served with the 121st Infantry, 8th Division. Mr. Blank candidly told Fritz that his mother saved his life that Christmas Eve so long ago. Fritz was overjoyed. In December of 2002, Fritz Vinken passed away. The compassion and bravery of Fritz's mother, Elizabeth, reflected a truly genuine Christmas spirit. Alone with her young son, surrounded by the brutality of war and a harsh winter, Elizabeth Vinken put overwhelming fear aside and opened her home to provide goodwill to total strangers. Much like the stable at the time of Christ's birth, Elizabeth's hearth, though tiny, offered the perfect backdrop for a Christmas miracle. May the Vinken's Christmas miracle of 1944 be with us this Christmas season.
You're listening to a special holiday broadcast on Radio Free Readout. Thank you all for your support in 2014. Here's wishing you a very blessed year in 2015. Have a Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the final segment, segment 4. John Jacob at RadioFreeReadout.com is how you can get a hold of me, and visit our website at RadioFreeReadout.com. If you are interested in communications, that's the other side of Radio Free Readout, communications for an emergency situation, disaster type situation, when conventional communications are disrupted, go to amron.com. I spell A-M-R-R-O-N. That's Alpha Mike Romeo Romeo Oscar November.com. And learn more about emergency communications. Someone emailed earlier saying, you know, hey, I guess I need to learn more about your organization. How can I learn more? I'm interested in communications in case of a disaster situation. Well, the best thing to do is go to amron.com, explore some of the articles and sites and read the about page, which we're working on a video for. YouTube video that we'll have embedded there. But go over on the right hand side, about halfway down the page, you'll see a banner that says Amron Videos. Right now we have two videos that are docudramas, about an hour long each, and they're called Comms Up. Comms Up and Comms Up 2 is a great introduction to just to preparedness communications and Amron, and done in a docudrama form, so you can actually see how that might practically be used and applied in a down situation. All right, segment four is brought to you by AMP3 Medical. That's the Austere Medical Preparedness Project, and they have some Christmas specials going on. You can still take advantage of those great prices that they have, but I'm not sure if they could guarantee that it would be here by Christmas. But go check them out over at their stores.amp-3.net. Click on the banner on the right-hand side that says AMP3, and that will take you there. So good stuff, great people. Now, a few announcements. First of all, a couple of the partisans help with these contact requests. When you sign up, we try to keep security at the top of the list and the top priority. But we also want you guys to be able to link up with each other and the members. If you're a member, you have access to the member directory, so you can see, you know, code name Delta 51 lives in the town 5 miles away from me. That's really great. Now, for folks that are like-minded, want to link up with others now in advance and do practice nets and communications with one another, maybe make arrangements, meet, have a cup of coffee, and arrange for possibly future mutual aid in case of an emergency situation. This is how we've had many, many members, redoubters, and Amron operators link up with each other, and some great friendships have come from that. But initially, you just don't want your name and email and everything out there, hanging out there for anybody to be able to, look up or contact you. So what we do is we have a contact protocol where you contact us and say, yeah, put me in touch with this Delta 55 in such and such county. And we're both ham operators, and I'd like to meet up with them so we can start local nets, for example. What we do is we contact Delta 55 with your contact information and let that individual, if they're comfortable with it, proceed by contacting you. So it's a little slower, but it's secure. Security, the more secure you are, the more cumbersome it is. And so we try to strike that balance between being secure and still being able to function, and for Amron operators and redoubters to link up with each other. And so that's how that works. We're a little bit behind. It's going to be after the first of the year before those get all caught up, because we're all volunteers, and the partisans that help out with that portion of it are, it's the holidays, they're spending time with family, and they're still continuing the mission. But there are several projects right now that we're in the middle of, and we had to, you know, identify priorities. And so there are some other things that take higher priority than the contact request. So you're not forgotten, but there might be some delay, and expect all those to get caught up right after the first of the year. So hang in there. Now, also the new net schedule for 2015 for the national nets is uploaded as a PDF file. So you can download or print or both and have that hanging up on the wall there, your little communications binder or communication shack or little corner in the room. So you can just at a glance see what dates those national nets are going to be taking place at on. And then also we are adding a calendar that has been added ahead of schedule. We were hoping to have that up by January 1st. And that was one of the high priorities that we had because there are going to be a lot of things happening in 2015, starting January 1st, which I'll be talking more about, you know, in our first broadcast of 2015. That would be 25. That would be 15-01. We'll be talking about all the changes and new things that we're going to be adding and tools to help you guys. All that's going to be talked about, but the calendar is up now. So you can go check that out. Now there's still a few things that are going to be added to it, but it is basically 95% complete. The codename Pauly01 did an amazing job with that calendar. So go and look at that, check it out, and look for your nets right there. It's just familiarize yourself with that calendar. And at a glance, you can see what nets are going on where, when they start, what frequency they're on. And so anyway, and also we also welcome any feedback that you might have, but we're working hard for you guys. And so we really appreciate any feedback that you can provide to help us improve and get it better. We're also, that's going to help alleviate some of the confusion with the, you know, the nets are on the first and third week of the month. And, but the first has to fall on, you know, Sunday. And if the first, it started to get confusing. And so we're always trying to make improvements and make things more efficient. This calendar is going to be a huge help and a great tool. Now, would you like to introduce your children or grandchildren to ham radio? It might be a great way to do that and a lot of fun. Each year, there is an organization that's the PBC Skywarn group who puts together, it's a you know, severe weather watch network of ham volunteers. And every year, they put together a Santa HF net. This is on 20 meters on the frequency 14.300. You can actually go to their website 14300.net and you can put /Santa info. But if you just go to 14300.net, there's information about that. But actually, that is not quite as up to date as this website. And that is pbcskywarn.angelfire.com. And there's a /Santa14. Oh, so what we're going to do is we're going to put that on the highlights and resources posting for today's show as a link. And you can just do an internet search for it too and look up the Santa. Type in Skywarn SantaNet. And that'll come up if you get, you know, anxious and don't want to wait for us to get that posted on the highlights and resources posting, then, you know, you could just do an internet search. But we're also going to put up a specific posting dedicated to this at amron.com. So you can forward the link on to other people and help spread the word. So this is going to take place on the 23rd and the 24th. So Christmas Eve day, the 24th, and the day before that as well, the 23rd and 24th, there are different times when Santa is going to be on there. You'll be able to look at that schedule that we're also going to post on the highlights and resources posting, so you can see when Santa is going to be on. And get that young kid on there to talk to Santa, and hopefully it'll spark a little fire in them and an interest in radio. And it's a lot of fun. Now, another thing that's fun that we do every year is the NORAD Santa Tracker. This is a really interesting story because NORAD is the North American Defense. It's a early warning system for missile launches, which is a holdover from the Cold War. Well, this is an interesting story because there was a colonel who actually worked at NORAD, and he oversaw this. They had a hotline phone that was the direct line to the president in case there was a missile strike, so that when NORAD picks that up, they can immediately alert the White House and they can make an informed decision and make appropriate, take appropriate action and response. This is located in Colorado Springs. Now, in 1952, I believe it was, there was a Sears ad that ran where you could call and talk to Santa. And there was a misprint in the phone number, and it was actually the hotline number at NORAD in Colorado Springs. And so the colonel takes a call, the phone rings, he picks up the phone, and it's a little kid asking, where's Santa? Can he talk to Santa? And it was actually started in 1955. So the colonel apparently responds that, you got the wrong number, there's no Santa here. And of course the kid starts crying, and so he plays along. And he does the ho, 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 what do you want for Christmas? Have you been good all year? And stuff like that. So anyway, wrong number, I'll deal with it, I'll play along. So, and then of course, hangs up. Then more calls start coming in, more children start coming in. And that's when they realized that there was a problem. They tried to figure out where this came from. Little discussion with one of the parents. They said, oh, this is in the Sears ad. And then they looked, and sure enough. So they played along with this and played Santa. In fact, from that point forward, some of the airmen actually had the glass, grease pencil glass map of the United States and Canada. And they started, the colonel walks in and there's a sleigh drawn up by the North Pole. And the colonel's, what's this? And so they, well, sorry, sir, but we just wanted to play along and track Santa. And they thought, what a brilliant idea. So they got the approval and they were actually started to take Santa tracking. People were calling in, where's Santa? Where is he now? And so NORAD was tracking Santa. Now they have a website dedicated to it. And it's just been an ongoing tradition since 1955. So we'll put a link on there for you guys to be able to track Santa on Christmas, on Christmas Eve. And so that's kind of fun. It's just something that's lighthearted, and I just want to share that. And that's pretty much all I have. We're going to do a little bit of a digital. The contest and entries is over, but we're going to continue with training. We've got some new training coming up after the first of the year. We are going to be reintroducing one-time pads, a way to send coded messages using a numbering system. And we'll be introducing that to you guys and probably producing a tutorial YouTube video for you. And then we are going to be incorporating, well, we're going to be having training using one-time pads, and then we're going to incorporate that into your digital FL message and FL digital training. And now it's not legal to send encryption or otherwise hiding the true meaning of a message over radio, but we're streaming over ham radio, mind you. But we're not doing this over ham radio. That would be illegal. But in the future, you never know, something like this could come in handy. Having a way to send encryption over the radio. Look, if we get invaded by China or Russia and we've got foreign troops crawling over our country and we're fighting for our very existence, something tells me the FCC is probably not going to be too concerned about you sending a hidden message identifying the location of troops from an invading military. So these are skills that could come in handy one day. And if they're never used, well, they're fun. And if they are ever needed, it could save lives. So that's all coming up. Tonight, though, I'm just going to do a digital signal, sending in an image. And it's timely for the season. So with that, I just want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you out there. And thank you so much for your support in the last year. What an amazing group of people that is, such an honor and such a blessing and a privilege to have been able to build relationships with, to watch God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots awaken and come together in preparation for the days that we have ahead. There's much to be done, but we've come a long way, and it's just been a privilege to be able to do that with all of you. And so thank you guys for all of your support and your prayers. And so we pray that you have a blessed Christmas, that you remember the true meaning and the reason for the season. And that is, once again, our King who was born. And we use December 25th as the day that we set aside. Through conquest, we took it over. And December 25th is the day that we remember our King coming to earth. And amazing. What an amazing thing. It's an amazing story that has actually already been written, but is still being lived out. And these are amazing times that we're living in. So with that, have a blessed time with your families and be safe. And we will meet again next week for episode 14-51, probably a very short, abbreviated broadcast next week. And then we'll be getting prepped for the new year and the challenges ahead we'll be facing together. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.
Central Illinois, wishing Amron and Radio Free Readout a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and everybody have a blessed one.
This is Amron Core Operator Charlie Mike 01, wishing everyone a blessed Merry Christmas.
This is Juliet 59 from the Texas Readout, wishing Amron and Radio Free Readout listeners a blessed Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Old Crow, wishing y'all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy and Prosperous New Year from the Southern Readout.
This is Bravo Delta 01 from Deep in the American Readout, wishing all the Radio Free Readout listeners and Amron members a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Polly 01, wishing the Amron members and Radio Free Readout listeners a Merry Christmas.
This is Wingnut from Minnesota, wishing all the Amron a Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas. Enjoy time with family and friends, and just remember why we call it Christmas. This is Wingnut.
Clear. This is Delta 04 from the Readout of the South, wishing Amron a very Merry Christmas.
This is Charlie Delta 06, deep from within the liberal socialist stronghold of Seattle. I'm wishing Amron and everybody a very Merry Christmas.
And God bless us, everyone.